I can't believe I actually want to have a troll in this game. This is Core.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Core, episode 62. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And today, we celebrate what is potentially the first troll race from World of Warcraft in Heroes of the Storm. We don't have a lot of details, but we know that we're getting... Well, we have some details. We know we're getting Zul'jin. We're going to talk about that in detail coming up. Plenty to say about the first troll in Heroes of the Storm that isn't one of you being jerks at the end of a match. Not you. I mean them. Somebody else, not us.
It could have been me.
There you go. We weren't here last week because of the holiday, but we're back between holidays, and so much has happened since that time. There have been team league matches. There have been lots of Ragnaros play. There has been shifts here and there in the meta. And most importantly, lots of dodging a wave of lava as it comes down a lane at people. So I think we should talk about Ragnaros and what the last couple of weeks have said about him as a new hero, whether or not we think he's fitting well. He's basically on insta-ban if you're playing any sort of league games, which is kind of a bummer, but we've had plenty of time with him. So let's talk about impressions, if we think they're good or bad. I want to say the first thing I want to start out with was something funny Bo did that stuck with me, and that was... probably the day of or the day after we got him, you had said, guys, we're going dual specialists this game, are we? And I look at the screen, I'm like, no, there's like a Nazebo and there's a Ragnaros and there's a Jaina and there's like all these normal characters. And you thought that Ragnaros, and I don't think that unusually, like I kind of thought this too when I first saw him, you had it in your head. The best MMR in the room had it in their head that Rag was a... straight up specialist hero. Do you still feel that way? Do you still feel like he's not necessarily in the category of assassin like he should be, or is, I guess? Well,
the word assassin is difficult because an assassin's assassins do very specific things, yeah, right? They sneak around and they kill you when you least expect it. And not all assassins function that way. Anyways, the reason for my confusion was that specialists, not all of them, but many of them, are proficient lane pushers. They're very good at putting minions giving them dirt naps and pushing the lane in, and lava wave does that really well. And his trait Molten Core also pretty good at defending your lane. So he just feels like he belongs in the specialist category. And you're right. I was like, this guy's an assassin? Like, Raid Boss is never an assassin. He doesn't sneak up on you and kill you. He's like, I'm here, come get me. Yeah. Like, so I don't know.
I think it was a fair confusion. A fair bit of confusion. And but having played him now, do you still think though that it's kind of, should he just be called that, or do we care anymore? Do these names not mean anything anymore because the heroes we're getting have all kinds of weird utility that puts him in kind of cross categories anyway? You know, Tassadar is a pretty decent assassin when he wants to be. You can do that with Karazim if you need him to be, but I guess technically they're better suited for support. We've had this argument since day one, not argument, but this conversation since day one of this show. And it feels like now more than ever, the classifications don't really matter all that much, or less than they used to.
I think the classifications are really not, they're kind of useful, but not really that useful. And this just proves it because everyone's fixated with Lava Wave right now. Is it lava?
We say lava. We down here in America, we say lava, right, John? Lava.
Lava.
Yeah. That's right.
You don't say lava. It's not the lava.
We also
wave.
Say skeletal swing. So, you know.
Anyways.
Bo,
okay.
You beat your own drum, man.
Yeah. Anyways, my drum, I don't even know what it is, but let's say Lava Wave.
All right.
The lava wave. It clears a lane. Yeah, Leviosa lava wava. Clears the lane. It is absolutely what everyone's fixated on. Apparently, one of the slowest moving ultimate abilities, very hard to dodge too. And there's been a number of meme level jokes made about people's inability to get out of it in time.
Yeah.
Even though it's like the slowest thing ever.
I think part of it is it. I think part of it is it's while it's slow, it is faster than you. So what ends up happening is you see it get started and you hear him yell his little yell by fire be purged. And you see on the mini map this little flamey thing coming. You think you've got more time than you actually do, because once it's right around the corner, it is faster than your running speed. And if you don't get the crap out of there or know where a certain map's nooks and crannies are, they get hit by that wave, you're kind of screwed. Like this has happened to me. I can't remember specific maps in this case, but there'll be one where I was sure, oh, well, this little nook here is not going to be, the wave's not going to touch that. This is out of the way. The wave will just go right past me. And then sure enough, it took a nice right turn and smacked me right in the beak. So that kind of sucked.
It's not always clear where the edges are on some of the maps. Like you kind of think, oh, it's going to go here, but then it kind of leaks over to where you thought you were dodging.
Yeah.
The lava wave.
Kind of a bummer. John, are you, where are you at with Rag? You've been playing him. You got the baby face skin and all that. What's your thoughts? Where are you at?
I like him. He's really good. I do think that I'm curious how they're going to nerf him or if they're going to nerf him. I think that they don't like a 100% ban character. Mm-hmm. And right now he really is 100% ban. And I think one of the biggest complaints you can levy at the hero is that he makes games take longer, which he definitely does. But at the same time, I think if you nerf Lava Wave to where it's no longer useful, I think that hurts maybe the character a little too much. So I'm going to be curious to see what they do with them. I think we're going to be, you know, probably looking at this Ragnaros, this meta into January at the very least. So we'll see. But I like playing him. I think he's got a fun kit. I think he's a really fun character. But he's highly sought after. So I actually haven't played much of him because we've been either in Hero League where he's banned or I've been letting other people take him.
Yeah. So you say that it's making games go longer. Has anybody actually quantified this? Do we know on average on, you know, what maps we're actually seeing a difference in time? And are we talking minutes, seconds, 20 minutes, you know, 5 minutes? Like, do we know how much longer maps are taking with him on them?
I don't know. For me, it's anecdotal. It just feels like I'm getting to level 24, 25 more often, at least in the quick match games where there's been two Ragnaroses. Ragnaroses. It's not Ragnarai because Ragnaros is a proper name, so it's got to be Ragnaroses. But I kind of really want to say Ragnarai.
Yeah, I do too.
It's been longer. Like because the wave clear means if both sides can wipe out lanes and you get two charges of it at level 20, there's no push. So the games just don't end unless there's a wipe. Yeah.
Be fun to see what it is from if somebody could figure out what an average game takes pre-level 10 with him. And then what it changes to post 10 versus games he's in versus games he's not in. That would be at least interesting from a math perspective. And also that has to be frustrating for them as developers because they see that happen and think, well, our goal here wasn't to make games last twice as long or make sure people get to level 25, 26 every time. Well, maybe it was, but I don't think that was their point, especially where there's plenty of games without Rag in them. And therefore, those games don't have the same pace, I guess. I hadn't considered that. So all this talk about timing is kind of throwing me for a loop here a little bit. I don't know what they do to address that, because John's right. If they nerf Lava Wave too much, I mean, maybe there's some wiggle room there, but if you nerf it too much, then what you end up with is an ult nobody cares about. I wonder, though, so when it comes down the lane, if you are a regular minion, you're dead. There's no way around it. If you're a merc, you'll make it, right? If you're not already at Half-Life or something. Heroes take a ton of damage from it. Maybe the answer is speed it up so it's a bigger threat to the heroes that are in lane, so it's more useful during team fights and doesn't take so long that smart players get out of the way quick enough, and have it just do less overall damage to elites, maybe same damage to regular minions, or maybe less damage to all of those guys, and it doesn't exactly wave clear anymore, but it's a still, you know, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is there's probably a balance there, and they'll probably figure it out over time.
Yeah, I I just, it popped into my head, so there's no science behind this, but I would like to see lava waves start slow and end fast. I'd like to see it build. Because I feel like that lava wave, when you are right up by the core and it starts, there is no getting out of the way of that thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the time you're back defending on your core, you're almost just like, oh gosh, I wish it would just hurry up and get here so I can get back into position. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious what would happen if they slowed down the initial movement of the lava wave and let it build as it moved down the lane. Might be hard to do with different size maps and whatnot. But
I think there's also the damage problem. The slower it is, the more damage you take when you're in it. Right. Yeah. And then the faster it is, the less damage you take.
Mm. Well, maybe.
So if it's slow and you're fighting the enemy's core, then it's like you're in it for a long time, potentially.
Mm-hmm. I just like the idea that it's less predictable. I don't know if there's a way to do that with what John described. It sounds like maybe that's one way of looking at it, but making that wave less predictable is going to be a great way to make it so it's less dodgeable. I mean, at this point, I'm not finding myself getting caught in it very often anymore. Usually you hear the thing, you see what side it's on, you kind of have a feel for it, and you get the hell out of the way, and you understand which maps are going to give you the space you need. So that took some time to get used to, maybe a dozen matches or something. But now that we're to that point, I feel like it's not that big of a deal to get out of it. It's kind of like when you know how to interrupt and avoid Mosh Pit, then you start doing it every time, and then Mosh Pit becomes really no threat, depending, I guess, if you have the right comp or not. To me, that's sort of the same thing. So maybe this resolves itself. Maybe this is as powerful as it should be. And the part that is frustrating is we can't tell the mercs and the minions what to do, right? They are going to go up that lane whether we want them to or not. If we knew that there was one, if we knew top lane was about to get a lava wave or lava wave, I'll say it for you, Bo, lava wave.
Lava wave.
There's no way to redirect your minion efforts.
Tell them to duck and cover.
Yeah, especially because you're clearing minion or you're getting camps based on the needs of the moment, right? You're like, all right, we are doing a trade here on camp, so we're going to do top camp. They're doing their bottom camp and so and so, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is just normal play in this game. And it gets, and when lava wave happens, you're like, oh, well, we didn't know. So there goes at least half the life of these mercs, and then all the minions they were with, they're dead, and those catapults are dead. So there's not much you can do about it. If there was a way to redirect that or control that in some way, maybe, but they're not going to introduce that as a mechanic to the game. Because it would have to be every time there's a rag on screen. And if you had to pick a hero that can counter that specifically, it's no good. So I don't know what the answer is. Honestly, I feel like it's a really fun thing to watch and see. I love it when we'll do a brawl and both you guys or two of us on the team will end up with double rag. And then it's one of these brawls where you can get to 10 and then to 20. So now you've got double charge of that thing. It's mayhem. It's just the funnest thing to watch. So I don't want to see it get nerfed too bad because I feel like what we're getting is so cool. Like, it's a really cool hero and he does really cool things and it matches who he is and what he is. But whenever you see somebody so auto-banned, like Smurro, for example, it makes me wonder, is it the game's fault for it being 100% ban and Blizzard failing at whatever the balance was to make that not happen? Or is that just the default now for competitive play if it's a new hero and we don't exactly have our head around it because it does some weird meta shifty things? They're just auto banning because that's what you do. It's the gut reaction. I don't think that's that's like an educated, spending a ton of research time to figure out the best way to handle this new character. I think people are just going, we'll deal with him later, ban him, right? So if that's the case, that's not Blizzard's fault. I want him to be in those games, but what are you going to do? I mean, if that's what the players are doing, that's what the players are, that's what they're doing.
And I don't necessarily love the Samuro auto ban either, but I think his auto ban comes back to a place, and maybe it's the same deal with Rag, of it's a play style that people just don't want to play against. You know, we used to think about that with Nova a lot as well. Like, yeah, Nova's counterable, but do I want to do what it takes to properly counter Nova? Or is it easier to just say, no Nova? Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of why we see Samuro out. There are some maps where he's exceptionally, genuinely strong on, but
I'd say that in the coming weeks, you will see if we do some more team league and stuff. You'll get your Samuro. Right now, the the boogeyman, if it's not Rag, it's Diablo. Mm. it's Diablo or Thrall. Like, people are, and I've played a lot of Hero Leagues the past couple of days because Christmas, you have to play a lot of heroes.
Yeah.
And people are really trying to put together the Thrall, Diablo, Rhaegar, Bloodlust team. Oh my gosh, it's a thing.
It's scary.
It's a real obnoxious, annoying, super fun if you have it thing right now. So Thrall and Diablo and Malfurion are kind of higher on the ban priority, I think, right now than Samuro. So you'll get to play him.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. I was just going to say, this reminds me of when Li Ming was constantly banned out. She was just banned automatically no matter what. And so was it was usually her and like Morales, 100% every time. Didn't matter what game, those two are getting banned. And that's just not the case anymore. Now, I don't know what changed, but obviously a larger roster makes a difference, right? Like, the bigger this roster gets, the shorter amount of time we're going to be auto-banning these new characters, because there's enough other weird threats that matter more to the way that that comp is being built at the moment or whatever.
I mean, Varian was auto-ban before Rag came out, and while they did nerf him, not a lot changed, except that, oh, it's more important to ban Ragnaros is what changed.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see more stuff like that. You know, the auto ban just cycles because, like, oh, it's a new character, I don't want to deal with it. Ban it.
It's funny, you could say the Varian Wrynn's nerf was Ragnaros. Because he came out and made him not be auto banned anymore. I don't know. I just feel like Samuro's been in there too long. But Bo, if you're right, I guess that's good. But then also, I don't like the sound of that comp you just described. It scares the hell out of me as a opposing player. So good.
We'll have to do that in our team league games.
Yeah.
While we're talking about Ragnaros too, all the attention's on Lava Wave. But if I had one comment about when I see people playing Rag, they don't use their trait nearly often enough. That is by far the coolest part of Ragnaros, is turning into a raid boss, Molten Core. It's amazing. It's the best feeling in this game right now, is turning into the raid boss and like just decimating. So I like to use it by not defending mine, but once we take a keep and there's still a skirmish happening around it, to take theirs. and rain doom and destruction upon the enemy team. He's really good. This is a really strong hero release, and I know they know it, but it's been a huge success.
Yeah, seems like everyone loves him. I don't think we're having any real problems with our little package. Speaking of packages, where's mine? Oh, I was going to have it here. No, I'm not showing you my package, everybody. Calm down.
my interest has peaked.
Oh, here it is. I got it. I don't know if you guys had yours handy, but...
It was touch and go.
Oh, yeah. I didn't... I don't know where mine is.
The Heroes team was nice enough to include us in a big list of people they sent these to. They sent us these Ragnaros. By now, this is old news for a lot of you guys listening and have seen these. I did an opening or a video opening the box and stuff, so you may have seen that too. But anyway, it's awesome. It's called Ragnaros, like O's, get it? Like cereal. By Fiber Be Purged there at the bottom, and then there's all sorts of funny stuff on the side and back. In fact, the entire map of Molten Core, the original Molten Core raid, is on the back. Inside was actual cereal, but it was Fruit Loops, actual Fruit Loops with like an extra sheet of paper to prove it was.
It was also my dinner last night.
Oh, was it? All right. I ate all of these by hand while playing Heroes like it was candy, like some kind of idiot.
I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, by Color Fiber Be Purged, really.
And there was a keychain in there with the same deal. The keychain was in there. I'm using the keychain on mine. I don't know if...
I am too, but I don't know where I put it. I don't... Oh, there it is. It's over there. I can't reach it. And then in there was, I already said
you got a noob.
Yeah, there was a noob. I forgot. Oh yeah, the noobs, and I don't know where that went. But it was funny because Nick already has one of these. They gave us a bunch of these for Nerdtacular one year, and it's the exact same one. So I think they had some old stock. But anyway, it was super nice of them to do that. Huge thanks to them. And I don't know, it's one of my favorite things. I'm gonna hang this up and never lose this box ever because it's great.
You can't see it. It's off camera, but mine's on the shelf behind me.
Yeah. Super, super cool. Really nice of those guys to send that. All right. What else? Let's talk about the best of 2016 when it comes to Heroes of the Storm. Because quite honestly, there's not a lot of other things in 2016 that were that great. Actually, I'm going to say this. All right. There was a lot of poop in 2016 that we're still dealing with today. However, one of the best things about 2016, and this is totally un-Heroes related, but I was impressed with how good animated films were this year.
Really good.
Don't know what happened there, but things like Zootopia and freaking Kubo and the Two Strings, which I thought was incredible.
I just watched that and I was floored.
Isn't that amazing? So amazing.
It is not just one of my favorite animated movies. It is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, straight up period. Really awesome. And there are many, many more. I thought Finding Dory was great. Like, all these great animated movies, to varying degrees, were really high quality this year. I don't know why that was. There's a lot of stuff you could say negatively about the world in 2016, but for whatever reason, animators had it going on. But then there was Heroes of the Storm, and there was lots of good stuff. So let's talk about, we'll take turns here, talk about our favorite hero release, our favorite map, community experience, in-game experience, all that kind of stuff. For me, the Charity Brawl was this year, right? We did it in February or something, right?
We did.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, that's the highlight of the community side of things. I may have just, you know, took mine out of there, and now you guys don't have one. But I really liked that one. That was awesome. We got big news about upcoming stuff, so stay tuned for more about that. If you like the original Charity Brawl that we did in February. But anyway, I really liked that. It was a great experience, and it was cool to do something for charity that was meaningful, that was a lot of fun with friends and fellow podcasters. It was a way to bring the community together and bring creators together, and at the same time, earn some money for a real good cause. So that was awesome from a community standpoint. For me, my favorite hero release, probably Sumuro. To my shock and dismay that I'm even saying those words out loud, I thought it was going to be the least interesting of the heroes that came out this year. I am not into samurai, ninja man stuff. Don't really care for those shoes with the two blocky things on them. I don't like big ponytails and samurai swords and that whole thing is just not my jam, right? Wearing a big banner on your back, to me, it's just so like Samurai Showdown, a game I hated back in the day. I'm going to get all kinds of email for this. It's fine. Just not really a big fan of that thing, whatever that is, whatever that's called. However, once I started playing with him, completely sold. I love him as much as I've loved any hero in the game. I find him extremely fun and satisfying to play. I don't know what it is exactly. It's the combination of stealth and ambush and this feeling of just like shock and awe when he pulls off something good, but also just has great escapes, and I'm just into him. Like, he's great. I love him. I don't even like melee characters that much, and I really, really like him. So for me, it's him. And my favorite map is probably the one that a lot of people don't like from this year, but I really like the nuke one. What's it called? Just forgot.
Warhead Junction.
Warhead Junction. That's how much I like it. I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah. I almost called it Nuketown.
So. I almost did too. I do it all the time. In Call of Duty, I enjoyed Nuketown. Here, it is not that. It's Warhead Junction. And I really liked Warhead Junction, still do. I think it's huge to its benefit. I like that it's big. I think it provides some really interesting sort of what are we going to do? Two of those things are spawning way down there, and most of us are up here kind of problems. I like those kind of problems. It does maybe rely on global heroes a little too much, but whatever, that's what you get with a big map. Yeah, on the whole, I think that's probably my favorite map of the year. So that's me. But what did you, what ran up your sock and gave you a tickle?
Well,
okay. Just common everyday experiences, yeah. We all have.
I just love that expression. What ran up your sock and gave you a tickle? Well, it's funny. It's apropos because I think even though I've complained a lot, my favorite hero release this year is Chromie. I think she's adorable. And I really just love that we have a gnome in the game. And problems aside, she's pretty cool. I may have been started playing her again a little more too. So I think like there's been... if you look at the list of everything that was released this year, which was Greymane the first for 2016?
I think so.
Like everything, looking back, everything's just amazing. Like I look at all of them, I think they were all awesome in their own way. But if I had to pick a favorite, it's Chromie.
Yeah. Maybe the most disappointed, who are you? Are we still feeling like, what's his beak? I can't think of his name. Gosh, my brain.
Gul'dan?
Today. Gul'dan, is this still the most disappointing hero of the year? Or what?
I don't know. He's real good now.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, he's good. I think, I don't know. I think he came out kind of along with the movie. And I think there's a little bit of, he seems so awesome in the Warcraft film. And then he just has this like strict kit in Heroes. It just kind of, there's like a disconnect maybe in his reception. I don't know. He's, Like I like him. I do. I just I don't think he entered with the same kind of excitement as like Ragnaros or Varian came in or Sumuro. In fact, I'd say the first half of 2016, there was much less hype around the hero releases than there have been in these past 3 months, even. I mean, I know we had BlizzCon, so that kind of amps things up, but there's been a renewed effort to build interest in heroes from the hero release front.
Yeah,
it sure. must be hard doing 3 weeks for a hero release, right? Mm-hmm. It's a whole other topic, I know, but we're literally still celebrating Ragnaros, and we've got the Zul'jin guy coming. And I feel like, oh, here's a Facebook thing. Anyways, he's going to be here sometime soon. Whatever.
Yeah.
In comparison to Ragnaros. And I'm like, yeah, Zul'jin's a pretty cool guy. Anyways, favorite map. That's what I need to pick, right?
Yeah.
There haven't been that many map releases this year.
No, there have only been, actually, there've been three or two.
Yeah.
I mean, well, are we counting Haunted Mines? We can count Haunted Mines, yeah, I would think.
We can count it, sure. It was gone a year before that, so why not?
I mean, you can count Brawls too, because they're technically new maps. Yeah. But I think my favorite release has to be probably Warhead Junction as well. Mm. I dig the nuke, just the nuke aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And it would be Braxis if Braxis wasn't so snowbally and such an irritating map sometimes. Yeah. Because that one's also very cool. But yeah. I think Warhead's my favorite.
I'm actually pretty happy. Generally speaking, there's not really a map that I hate. I really still dislike Garden of Terror the most, but I feel real good about all the maps right now. Like I can't look at one and just go, oh, that's a piece of garbage. And I think the new way that even though we've had limited exposure to it, the new way that Haunted Mines works is an improvement and makes a lot of sense, and I quite like it. So yeah, good year for maps, even though there were way less of those this year than there were the year previous. Did you have a community experience, or did I steal?
Yeah, I think our team league Saturdays have been the best. So over on Kyle Ferguson's stream, we've mm-hmm. We've made a commitment to show up on Saturdays and play some team league, and it's been awesome every time. I haven't had a single bad time doing that, and that's something people are watching this and enjoying it, so that makes me happy, because it could be not fun to watch. Yeah. I'm glad that it is fun to watch. So
even a load of losses like that two Saturdays ago was still fun. I still had so much fun that day, which I'll talk about later why I think I had fun. John.
Hello.
Hi. What do you think? What's your favorite stuff from this year in Heroes?
So favorite hero release. I had to go back and look to see.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is Discovering Jaina. Okay, go on.
That's not necessarily wrong. I've been playing a lot of Jaina. She went from like level 6 with me to level 9 now. Because I've been playing a lot of Jaina. Mm. But favorite hero release of this year is Tracer. Mm. Hands down my favorite, even though she's wearing a weird diaper. It's fine.
I forgot about the diaper. Damn.
Doesn't keep her down. Mm. She's still good. Favorite map, I'm going to be boring. I'm going to say Warhead Junction. I think it's the best map. Honestly, though, I would put the two StarCraft maps above almost every map in the game.
Oh, wow.
I really like both of them. I like the way they look. I like the way they play. I think they're both really solid, but I think Warhead Junction is the better one of the two.
Oh, we're getting so many now. It's getting harder to rank them, isn't it? Like, it's hard to say. That's interesting. If somebody held a gun to my head and said, Scott, right now, what are your top two? I might say the same thing. I don't know. I like Sky Temple, and I still like the Crow one.
I like Towers of Doom a lot.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty high up for me. Yeah. Interestingly enough, Cursed Hollow.
That's what I meant. You know, the Crow people, one.
The Crow one. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. That one tends to be, you know, people look at it and kind of consider it the most traditional of the maps. And so there's a lot of people that kind of revere it as one of the best maps, if not the best map. And I've kind of turned on it. It's not Garden of Terror. I am still more than happy to play a game on Cursed Hollow, but it's probably one of my least favorite now.
All right.
But yeah, I think they're doing really good things with the maps. Community experience, you took my number one, and then Bo took what would have been my immediate number one after that. So I'm going to just say both of those. I agree.
Hoping there was some third thing that we didn't know about yet. You were going to drop a bomb on us.
I was trying to think, and I'm just like, man, is what I get for going last, I guess. Yeah. Everybody took everything I wanted.
Well, they were both. These are both two really cool things. I guess, you know, we should mention playing live with fans every Tuesday is loads of fun. We love doing that. And by the way, hang around to the end of the show if you guys want to play with us tonight. We'd be happy to do that. And also, just overall, the growth in the core community has been really great. So I would tack that in there as well. You guys have been awesome this
show. Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a tack. I would say that's a strong answer, and now I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, there you go. Take it right out of their hands. Oh, I'll say one other thing. BlizzCon was a cool community thing, not just because of the event. It's always cool. But going there and having so many people talk about Core, talk about Where's Bo, talk about what they love about the show, Next Jeopardy, John's stupid Dear Martha stuff, like all that was just great. Like this is the first year. I mean, we'd only been doing the show for 2 years. And that first year or 2 years ago when John and I were there, you got it here and there, but we were just getting going, you know, it was just starting really. And to see in about a year's time that much excitement and growth really got me going at BlizzCon. That was totally awesome. And just the general overall feeling around Heroes was really great there. We got to meet Lashes. She was super nice. The community team over there right now is killing it. Just doing really great work. So for whatever reason, 2016, a real strong, especially latter half in the world of Heroes of the Storm, for sure.
And I'll give a fifth, because I think that's what we're up to now at this point, after we said there were only two. You know, a lot of people like to throw out like, oh, I like this show and this is why I like this show over this show. And they think it's sometimes a heated rivalry that it's not. Honestly, the community around all the podcasts, we all play together. We all interact with each other. We all talk a lot. It's a very tight knit community that are doing these podcasts and getting to work with the very talented people that host many other shows and work with them and become friends with them and play games with them. That has also been a real big highlight.
Could not agree more. That absolutely should be mentioned. And not only that, it's such a stark difference. And this is not, I mean, plenty of people in my WoW time since 2006, when I launched the instance, plenty of people have been great to be around, work with and coincide with. But man, there's Dirty Pool there that is not here. And I don't know why. I don't know what the difference is. It's still a Blizzard game. It's still whatever. Maybe it's newer. It's younger. But for whatever reason, there's just not a lot of animosity or weird fake drama or any of that stuff. And maybe we're just maturing as a set of gamers or something's happening. But I could not agree more. And it's super fun to be involved in that. And that means we get to do cool things like these charity brawls and, you know, other opportunities for some crossover. We did a whole panel at the event at BlizzCon that was, what, five shows represented, I think, or four at least, because you and I were repping the same show. But
yeah,
but it was great. And that kind of thing is, I don't know, it's really important to me from a what am I getting out of this perspective, that there's not a lot of that weirdness. Like, let the rest of the internet beat each other up. It doesn't seem to be happening in the Heroes podcast community, and I really like that a lot.
And just to troll you, Scott, I'll throw out my most disappointing hero of 2016.
Go for it.
Samuro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Don't like him at all.
What is it you don't like? Let's get into this a little.
I will go ahead and claim that I may turn into Bo on this. Oh, and no. I might say this and take it back in a couple weeks or months time. But he is the most boring hero on Earth. Oh, he is super boring.
Wow.
Like,
tell us how you really feel.
Wow. All right. So hold on. I'm trying to get my head around why we would feel so differently about it. It's funny because I think for the most part, you gravitate. We do definitely gravitate to different heroes in a more extreme way. Despite your recent love with Jaina, and she's great. My favorite hero in the game. You'll go way hard on Artanis while I will spend a lot of time with Nazebo, and you'll pretty much never see us swap those positions.
Yeah.
As an example. So it's not surprising to me entirely that you and I might have differing tastes in that way, which is also funny because in like video games in general, John and I are like on the same page 90% of the time. Yeah. It's interesting in this game as you get into the minutiae of it, how differently we go. So I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. What I'm surprised by is that you find him boring. When I play him, I feel like I'm a trap ready to be sprung any minute, and there's this really great back and forth with with my cooldowns, and do they know where I am? And I understand that that's the thing people get out of Nova and get out of Zeratul, and I do too to some degree, but I really get it out of him in a way that I haven't before. And I think part of it is when I pop in there, there's now three of me, sometimes four if I spec him right, and he's doing weird stuff, and he's just weird, and I like him. So I don't know why I like him so much. And it's interesting that you think he's the most boring hero in the game.
It's probably his shoes.
I had to get over his shoes.
I don't know. He's kind of just generic. He's like everything about him is like the most bland. His alternate skin is bland. His master skin is him being ashamed of his beard and hiding it with a napkin. Like, it's just, he's just boring. Right, he's like drying of heroes.
Swoop in here and tell us why we're wrong. Or why he's,
wrong. That's a subjective thing. If you don't like him, you don't like him. What can I say to change your mind? Have to play him.
How do you feel about Samuro? How do you feel about him? You like him?
I think he's super fun. Yeah. I think he is in the same category as Novan Zeratul. So the playstyle is kind of similar. It's kind of samey. But he's pretty fun. I don't know. He's got his place.
Yeah.
I don't play him a lot. Like, I would say he's definitely not my favorite hero to play. Yeah. But I think he's cool. I don't know, man. That's a really strong opinion. And so, you know, I can't stick up for Samuro. He can stick up for himself.
I don't think he's the worst hero in the game. I mean, Bo, did you say who your most disappointing was?
Oh, yeah. Well, who's your most disappointing, Bo?
I don't know. Let's not be negative about
No.
This is good. This is good.
Gul'dan was the most disappointing.
Okay. And he's having a resurgence, which is good. I think that's great.
But it's not about whether he was powerful or not, although that definitely is a factor. I just think he just doesn't feel as much of a jerk. Like, Alarak kind of fit that role rather than Gul'dan, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's a bigger villain in my mind. And the way he plays, the way he talks, the way he holds himself, he is way more villainy than Gul'dan. But okay, so I'm going to say, I'm going to change my answer of most disappointing from Gul'dan to, at the time, Greymane, because he is this year. And I've changed completely on this. I like him now. Partly because we did some brawls with him, and I ended up like going, oh, wait a minute, I think something clicked. Like, this is the thing I just wanted to bring up. It happens in heroes all the time, and it happens to me all the time. A character I gave short shrift to for a long time, suddenly I want to play them. John hated on Nova for so long, and then suddenly you were playing her, and you were doing great with her. And I think it just can happen, right? So there may be a day down the road where John goes, oh, Samuro just completely flipped a switch for me today. And I may go, oh my gosh, finally Alarak is working for me. Because right now I feel like a complete idiot with Alarak. I feel that way I've never felt comfortable with Diablo, ever. Like, still to this day, I see you guys just rocking it with him. I hear about how he's part of all this great meta. He's getting banned everywhere. Freaking Dibbles, man. Everybody wants to be Dibbles. And I just suck with him. And it's just not clicking with me. I'm fully aware that one day it might or will even. So that's the nice thing about this. As subjective as it all is, I have experienced this firsthand so many times where something will just click. Nazebo clicked. Jaina clicked. Thrall clicked. Thrall was my first big clicker, man. He's the guy. He's the one that kept me in the game. Like, he was the one where I went, oh, I got it. And then I kept playing, and now I'll never stop playing. Like, those are the big moments. And later on, I had more moments with more characters I thought I would never like. Right now, I don't have any desire to play Chromie. I have no desire to take her out and dust her off. But I'm 100% sure there'll come a time where I do and I want to.
I turned around on Chromie. But I do, the chat room just reminded me I need to change my answer. Samuro's off the chopping block. He's back to a hero for me.
Okay.
Because I apparently hated a hero so much I forgot he even came out this year. That's good old Medivh. Who's so not only boring. One of my least favorite of 2016, he's dang near the bottom of the entire game for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of, so you and I have to, we kind of agree on this one for now. I see Bo playing really well, and I think, oh, maybe one day I will. But I don't.
There's a guy that climbed up to Grandmaster number one using Medivh only.
Really?
And
playing Medivh. Yep.
If I play with that guy on a regular basis, I might change my tune. But instead, I'm playing with every other Medivh who hovers around as a bird and only gives themselves portals and doesn't seem to know what the shield does and generally supplies nothing. He gives me great vision of our own towers or of some grass that he's hiding his bird form in for some reason. Mm. I don't know. I
can't argue with
good
that.
Medivhs, and when they're good, they're real good. Yeah. But it's the exception to the rule.
I can't argue with that. I think he's boring as crap and have zero desire to play him right now. But I will at least hold out that one day something will click and it'll all make sense. He definitely appeals to a very specific kind of play style, and I just think it's not for me. And I don't think it's for a lot of people. I think that's why you end up with bad Medivhs on your team. There was a guy yesterday when we were playing. We took a really hard loss yesterday, one of our games. Actually, we took all losses last night, didn't we?
We had the 8-minute win.
Oh, yeah. We had that one win that gave us hope, and then the rest was garbage. But but there was a team with a Medivh near the end, and he was amazing, this guy. Just incredible with his timing, with his portal, and when he was shielding people, and just was awesome. And didn't just hover around as a bird. Like, did real recon for his team, and was clearly, like, a guy who was invested in being Medivh. And when you see that, you'll go, okay, I get it. Right? I just think he is, you know, they classify heroes as easy, medium, hard, or whatever, to play, or the skill caps are harder or whatever. He should be way up on the high end of hard, not because he's actually hard, but because there's a mental game in getting into what he's supposed to actually do, because I don't think it's all that intuitive. I think it might be for some, but it isn't for me. Like, it just doesn't, I feel like I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with that guy. And because of that, I think a lot of players are like that. Not because of that, but they're like me and they feel that way. So they don't know what they're doing. They want to like him. He's cool. He's the grand mage of the thing. He's got the bird form and the castle and the Hoosits, right? He's great. You're behind that guy. You'll vote for him in an election. But damn it, he's just weird. So he's weird enough to be, he just feels boring.
It's my favorite Miyazaki film, The Bird Thing and the Castle of the Hoosits.
I couldn't think of what it was called. Karazhan. That's what I meant to say. Anyway, not Karazhan. What am I thinking of?
No, it's Karazhan.
It's Karazhan. Yeah, Karazhan.
You're thinking Karazim.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Karazim. I got my heroes and my WoW mixed up. Anyway, there's that. Let's predict. Should we predict? Let's talk about next year. So let's predict a hero, maybe some maps, some features, events, stuff like that. I'll start. Here's my prediction for Hero. This will be the year we get. I know it's trite and I know it's stereotypic, but this is the year we get Deckard Cain. If we don't get him this year, we're never getting him. That's my prediction.
Now or never.
That's He's my never prediction. Coming. If he doesn't happen in 2017, then they're never making him. That's my prediction. So there you go. Oh, and as far as maps and stuff, I bet we get some Warcraft theme maps. We don't have any of those really yet. You could argue that some of them are, you know, the castles look sort of like castles and things, but I mean, like, straight up Horde and Alliance opposite each other. Probably something along the lines of what was the Capture the Flag map in Arena, or not Arena, but in Battlegrounds? Crap.
Not Alterac.
Warsong Gulch.
No. Warsong Gulch. Alterac Valley's possible. Although that one's kind of weird because it's not symmetrical. What's the one that's, there's another really good one. Oh, Arathi Basin. I could see those getting some sort of heroes treatment where there's a lot of nostalgia there for a lot of WoW players for, you know, playing 12 years of WoW and doing a lot of PvP over there. That's a good carryover. It's a way to also just do some fun WoW-themed stuff. So I think this is the year we see some WoW-themed battlegrounds, some Warcraft-themed battlegrounds. I don't
Terran
know.
Terran Mill.
Terran Mill. Oh, man, that would be good.
Versus South Shore.
Yeah,
I'm all into
that's
that.
That's what I want.
That'd be awesome. And then as far as features and events, I have no idea. I just want clans. I want stuff they've already talked about. I'm happy to be surprised, but I don't think we're going to get surprised by too much. We kind of know what's happening in the pro scene and what their plans are. I guess I'm excited to see them execute on that and actually pull that off and see heroes grow in that way. But I can tell, and I know it's the holidays, but I can just tell especially since that Genji skin promotion, the Nexus Challenge promotion, there has just been more people playing heroes, period. Like, I get into my launcher and way more of my friends are in there, just generally speaking. Like, there's just a lot of heroes going on, and I'm so excited about that. So for me, this next year is all about a bit of a critical mass for the game and a hit or miss moment, and I really hope and think they're going to hit you know, whatever the next tier needs to be. So that's me. All right, Bo, predict away. Let's steal John's idea one more time. Let's do it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Draenei this year. Oh, for sure.
All right.
We have to be getting a Draenei.
Who do you like? Who do you want? Who
preferably you want? Yidel is my favorite, but I take a Vindicator Marad. Most likely it's going to be Velen. I know he's a Draenei, but he's not the coolest in my books as far as I'm concerned, but he is a notable character, so it could be him. Or perhaps Akama.
So is he the king of the Draenei, or is he the captain of the ship? Think about that for a second. Which one is he, do you think?
Oh, I like the captain mythology, because then it's like the Exodar is like the Enterprise.
Yeah, I do too.
And then he gets his tea, Earl Grey, hot.
People don't like that, but I like that. So I'm kind of cool with that. Who else?
But he's a prophet. So I'm thinking the Draenei. That's what I'm predicting. Hopefully some demons too, maybe.
That would go well. It'd go well with the WoW theme that I was talking about. So hopefully that's
absolutely
true. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I'm definitely on the Warcraft train. I hope we see some Warcraft theme maps for next year. That would be sort of my prediction there. I think the next big thing that we get is going to be clan features in the game. And tournament mode. So I'd like some sort of tournament. There's been a little bit more talk around the on online spaces like Reddit and stuff like that, that some kind of a tournament feature, even if it isn't for money, it's just play 5 games, see how far you can go kind of deal, you know, and end up at a spot and earn a reward or something. I feel like a short form tournament rather than just rank ladder might be a compelling way to, you know, it's Friday night, let me try tournament, you know, and see how many games I can go and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Also it'd be nice for us as content creators to be able to set up small tournaments, you know, in a way that the system can automate a lot of it. That would be really cool. We can see brackets, we can see standings, we can hop in and out of games. Like all that stuff would be really, really awesome. I hope you're right on that prediction.
Yeah, we would use that too. That's a big deterrence right now. Is it's a lot of work organizing even a small casual tournament, making sure people show up on time, stuff like that. Right. If there was a way to implement it in the game client, that would be fantastic.
Agreed. All right. Well, there you go. John, heroes, maps, features, or events?
New hero. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Mike Morheim.
Holy shit. Named, will he be a Vikrel from the land of Morheim or what?
Put him in there and just, what's up, BlizzCon? Hey, and there he is.
Welcome to the stage, DeepMind. Is he going to talk about AI for you? That's his ultimate? Like, what's he going to do? What's his thing?
You know, he just erases him if he doesn't like him. And it's just got a lot of voice sampling. He's just, you try to use an ult on him and he just goes, I don't think so. And then it just disappears.
I like it.
And then he says, it's been a great year. And then the core just explodes on the enemy
team. I love it. He could go to one of his ultimates could be go to the bank and use his credit card to pay payroll. Something like that.
Yep.
I like it.
Here's him reading a D&D book.
Yep.
I don't know what it does, but, you know, look at it and respect how far we've come.
Yep. And you need to, for sure, every skin just needs to be a variation of some bowling shirt. And that's it. All right.
My real hero prediction, because Mike Morheim would be OP. I'm going to say Garona. I'm going to say Bo's half right. We're getting half a Draenei. We're going to go with Garona Halfworken.
Oh, wow. All right. That's awesome.
Silliest, most on-the-nose last name I've ever heard of a character ever. There's some evidence that we're going to get a stealth character. They've been focusing a lot on stealth mechanics, and wouldn't surprise me if we got another stealthy, and Rogue is not technically currently featured in the game as far as Warcraft classes, so... I'm thinking Garona would be a very good choice.
Very nice. I like Garona. She's cool. She's kind of kind of hot for a half orcan. How about maps? Are you on the Warcraft hope train as well?
I'm going to say let's do an Overwatch map. It'll be a payload that you need to avoid at all costs. Because you need to fight literally everywhere but the payload. And if you get too close to it, it will move, but you need to move as far away from it as humanly possible and make sure you just don't fight anywhere near it.
I do like the idea.
Is this a jab at some teammates in Overwatch?
Mm. What are you talking about? I don't know. Maybe.
No, maybe. maybe not teammates. None of us, but sure, there are people who don't.
You need to stay away from the payload because Ragnaros is going to lava wave the pants off that thing. Yep. You should. Don't go near the payload. It's dangerous.
Just put up the skeletal mages. It'll be fine.
That's where the other team will be.
Yeah. but hold on a sec. I like this idea of exploring what a mechanic would be for that. Like the idea of a payload that moves based on you succeeding at doing what you're doing. We don't really have anything like that except, I guess, whatever the objectives are, if you successfully achieve them, it moves it forward, right?
Yeah.
On its own. It's not like you have to stand near it and fight. I doubt very highly that would be the mechanic for a payload style Overwatch map, but I would really like to see an Overwatch map now that you've said it. And I want every turret just to be a version of Bastion. They just need to be Bastion.
Just all Bastion.
Yeah, Bastion in siege mode, shooting at everything. That's what I need. Or one big Bastion for each core or something. But whatever. I am all with you on this. A Overwatch crossover would be great. They've already sort of shown a lot of success that these two games have some crossover potential in terms of player base. I think this last event really helped prove that. I don't even know if it was probably just an experiment of Blizzard, and I think it succeeded. So the idea that they'd hold hands a little more in the future makes plenty of sense to me. So we'll probably see more heroes from the Overwatch team, and certainly a map is not out of the question. I like your ideas a lot. How about features or events?
I'm going to say that the feature I want the most, I'm pretty sure, is coming, which is a change to loot and character progression in the game. They've all but confirmed it. I mean, they haven't said what it is specifically, but they've said they're doing it. So it's a very easy prediction to make, but it's also the one I'm most excited for.
All right. Well, there you go. We hope 2017 yields positive results for our predictions. Moving on, Zul'jin in the news. Hey, everybody, were you hoping a troll would show up at some point, speaking of Warcraft, and have Yaman and that kind of thing going on? Well, I got some good news for you. Zul'jin, not Vol'jin, not the former king, the war chief of the Horde. He's not there, but Zul'jin will be. And they did a little teaser, a little video with a hatchet hitting a wanted poster-looking thing of the Lich King, which was kind of cool, and some cool jungle music behind it, and everybody assumed either Vol'jin or Zul'jin. Zul'jin's now been confirmed. He's actually up in full glorious 3D and rotatable on the Heroes of the Storm website. So you can go look at him. We don't know when that's happening, though, do we? Soon? We don't know. Does anyone know? We don't know.
When did Rag come out? Because it's supposed to be 3 weeks, right? Rag came out the 13th?
13th of December, correct.
So if it's 3 weeks, it's January 3rd.
Oh, my. Next week.
Or it could be a 4 week deal because of the holidays and we get PTR on the 3rd and it's released on the 10th.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
If I was a betting man.
Yeah. I'm going to say you're probably right, but that's exciting. There's been some other stuff, right? Not videos per se, or there were some videos or something came out where he was.
A video came out today and in development.
Oh, that's
where
right.
They detailed everything. If you haven't seen it yet, it's up on the YouTubes. I said, in comparison to Ragnaros, where it was like, here, Ragnaros is coming, and here's all this stuff, and even Varian, it was kind of like, here's a video. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye. We're still on holidays.
Yeah.
But
can I say one thing about his skins, though?
Yeah.
There's one skin I really want for him, and I was kind of hoping it'd be his alternate skin. So, Zul'jin in World of Warcraft is missing an arm and an eye. I don't know if he still is, but the one I know and love was missing an arm and an eye. And so the model they gave him, you know, he's got an arm and an eye, and it's fine. But I would like to see a Terminator Zul'jin skin where he's got a robotic arm and a robotic eye. Just as a little nod to the Zul'jin that I know from the current game.
Yeah, I think that'd be okay. Why do you suppose they're just looking for a younger Zul'jin or something?
I think it's the Warcraft 3. He's a Warcraft 3, right? Or is it 2?
Oh, 2, I believe.
2, yeah. Like, it's his old Warcraft unit. Mm. He was pulled into the Nexus from that period of the timeline and not so much.
I'm cool. It's like Jaina with no hair streak or whatever.
Plus, he was going to make Dahaka just terribly jealous. You're stealing my thing, man.
here, I'm going to lick you and pull you over here. Oh, Dahaka might be my least fun hero of the year. I know a lot of people like him. I just can't get excited about Dahaka.
Did you give him much of a chance, though?
No, that's the answer is no, I haven't. I mean, if I'm going to cop to it, I should at least admit that I played maybe 5 games with him. I want to maybe go back and give him some love. I don't know. But I see you
5
do.
Games is enough to say, like, I'm not having fun with this, I think. So
yeah.
He's like an ugly Yoshi. We should all just respect him a little
an
bit
more. Ugly Yoshi, because of the tongue. Like, why is he an ugly Yoshi? I could not think of why.
Can someone, definitely needs a Yoshi skin, though.
Can someone ride him?
Put
can
a little saddle on him.
Can he poop
or
an egg?
Barney skin.
Yeah, I'd be all right. Let's see. So he's coming. Also, new Chromie skins, new Karazim skins, new Marauder skin for Muradin. Muradin is already on the Nexus. You can buy it now. It's a big Mechanico-looking dwarf man deal. It's cool.
He's like a Marauder unit from StarCraft.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. I don't know if I'm going to buy it, but I like it. I might.
John bought it.
Well, John buys all the skins. That's what he does.
That's not true, but I cracked yesterday. I had to get it. It's really cool. You like Muradin, Scott.
I love Muradin. Of course I am. I'm totally going to get it. There's no question about it. I'll end up with him. But for now, I mean, I bought his stupid freaking candy one.
No, you've already got a skin. You don't need to buy a skin for a character you already have a skin for. That's a waste of money.
I've got the one skin I'll ever need.
How you can explain that to your family? You spent money twice on the same character skin.
Actually, I have outside of the Marauder one, I have every skin he owns. So yeah, I need to probably do it. All right, so there's that. Also, we did some brawls over the last couple of weeks. We had the snow brawl and the mines reopening thing. The mines reopening was, I thought it was going to be some kind of cool like mini story event. That was like, the mines are back, and blah, 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 and there was going to be something short and sweet about that. And nope, they were just like full-on games on the mines map.
But what games they were.
They were...
I don't like it as a brawl, but boy, did we have fun doing those games.
Yeah, they were a
good
time.
We won every single one of them.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. I'm not a fan of these brawls, though, that are full-on, like, 25-level full progression games. Where they really you're just playing the same game. In fact, Snowball kind of the same for me. It's fine. I think that's an interesting mechanic to throw in those snowballs and multiple, what's it called? Bring me my tribute. I was trying to remember what the guy always tells me.
Jennifer Lawrence's. Multiple Jennifer Lawrence's all at the same time.
So I like that. It's fun. It's a twist, but it's still like a full blown game. Like you're still just playing a 25 minute, you know, full game. And I just don't feel like brawls are made for that. It feels like that should be something else. But it's fine. They're both fine. You get the money. You get the portrait. I'm more excited though about when they do weird stuff that's short and sweet and, you know, start your game and pick your ultimate and go. I think that's a lot more fun. But what do you guys think? Thoughts, feelings?
I enjoyed the snow brawl quite a bit, actually, because it had new unique mechanics in it. I thought the snowball element was really fun. And I think they were shorter games. The tribute spawning faster really helped that experience quite a bit. I think the snow brawl was a real big success in terms of its pacing and everything like that. If they're going to do more full-on maps, speeding up the map process is the way to go.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Snowbrawl quite a bit. The Mines Reopen was a little... I kind of just wish there wasn't the random selection for it, because it felt like we're trying out the new maps if we're playing them in like bad quick match. Like we ended up winning all of our games, John, but I started every game going like, ooh, it's all assassins. This is like playing some quick match version of the... Like, why didn't we just queue up for quick match and do that.
Yeah.
I would have rather seen a little bit more. I guess it's this, like when we're getting a random, sometimes it's okay to be like assassin, support, warrior. Give me three choices from three different roles so we can maybe build a comp.
Yeah.
Or just, if you're going to be crazy and give us 5v5 Ragnaros or something. Like, why not also give everyone a chance to try the new hero in addition to the new map? That'd have been fun. So
yeah, I agree.
But otherwise, it was okay.
Yeah, I will agree that Snowbrawl was the stronger of the two. Again, probably because they were sped up and there was at least something new to do. And also, I like the snow motif and all that stuff was good. John, you were talking about that. You'd kind of hoped the snowy version of Cursed Hollow was going to carry over into the regular game. It turns out it didn't, but that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, I would like to see them. I mean, obviously they have the art now for a Cursed Hollow with snow and Christmassy decorations all over it. I would like to see maybe for the entire month of December that just replaces Cursed Hollow for that time. Because why not? You know, let it decorate. And then if they want to do a different snow brawl next year, they can do that till they're at the point where every map gets decorated for the holidays.
Yeah.
Oh,
which is what I'm ultimately kind of wanting because I like it.
In addition to that, so I think, was it Scott, you said this yesterday? Yeah. It's too, the Cursed Hollow has snow, but it's too dirty. Like, I think they needed to put more snow on the map.
Yeah, it was gross.
They were a little stingy with the snow. It was like muddy snowland. And I think it would have been cool if it was just more snowy.
Yeah.
The Nexus clearly suffers from global warming.
You and I both live, Bo, in areas that get a lot of snow every year, right? So I've got 2 feet out there right now. You've got plenty where you live. And there's a certain kind of snow. When things will warm up and there's a bit of a melt, there's a certain kind of snow on the edges of the roads and stuff that's just dirty, salty, and gross. That's what this looked like to me. And it did not put me in the mood for, ooh, snow, everyone. It's like a Christmas miracle in this joint. It wasn't like that. So,
but you could tell it would have been really awesome if they put more. Like the snowflakes going down, everything was great about it. Just too poopy.
Yeah.
More snowy.
Too poopy.
It's that poop snow time of the year that we don't want to think about. We just want to think about the gorgeous December, January snowfalls when everything's the sound's very muted because there's a lot of snow everywhere. And there isn't a lot of tire tracks and a lot of slush.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I don't want end of February where it's all like salt, dog pee and food wrappers. And, you know, like that's the worst part of winter. Don't give us that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk real quick. Bo, you had an idea about adding plays of the game to Heroes. Tell us how you think that would work. And hopefully the engine could support it, I suppose.
All right. Well, this isn't a technical suggestion. So anyone involved in the creation of Heroes listening, nothing to see here. I was thinking, because one of the things that happens with Overwatch is that you get a person with a play of the game. And I think a lot of the comments were, how do we figure out who gets play of the game in this? Because I think the MVP system is pretty cool. They've mentioned, I think even, I'm not going to say names, but I feel like some devs have mentioned it would be a great feature to have, that they like it. It's very technically challenging. What if it was a team play of the game? So we don't have to have like a person standout, but maybe because everything, usually the big plays of the game in Heroes are like team fighty things anyways. Mm-hmm. Why not just show an awesome team fight where you got a mega kill and, you know, whoever happens to be featured in it happens to be featured in it. But the team that did the awesome gets the shout out at the end of the match. And I was like, that would be a way to put play of the game thing into Heroes. Mm. And it's something no other MOBA has. So if we could just solve the whole, it takes a long time for it to load issue, then I think it'd be better to do a team play of the game instead of a individual play of the game.
I completely agree.
That's my big idea.
I think it fits. Like everyone trying to wedge all these Overwatch ideas into Heroes, that's a way to make that fit. It isn't about personal performance. You already have that with the voting. You can still have that, but have a team moment at, you know, turn in for your coins or something where just something crazy went down. And even if you're the losing team, okay, cool. You got play of the game. Well done, team. That happens in Overwatch all the time where the losing player got play of the game. So yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. I doubt that engine's ready, but I really wish it was. I think they're getting closer. Closer every day. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Soldier, former Temple Storm pro player, made a short education video that you say is quite good. So describe this video. Why is it good? And who should be watching it?
Well, I think everyone should be watching it. So one of the big things in Heroes right now is there isn't a ton of educational stuff. I know McIntyre and Sray are notable for their... And we're talking about educational hero stuff. We're not talking about people on a stream who are providing good information for you to watch. That's great, but busy people don't necessarily have time to watch a stream for hours on end, but can watch videos. And it takes time to produce such good content. I know there a lot of the educational stuff is kind of like people in try mode or in a game talking over a long video, and there's like 5 minutes of stuff, and then finally there's something useful, but it's kind of random, you know? So this video in particular, it's Soldier, the I is spelt with a one. You may know him from Tempo Storm. He was playing in competitive for a while. Actually put out a really well edited video. It's dense, compact. And the first video he put out, which I highly recommend everyone watches, is about, it's 6 minutes long and it's nothing but goodies. So all the superfluous, like, oh, I did this. And oh, I had, by the way, I had eggs for breakfast. Now, anyways, here's how you stage dive with ETC. Like it cuts out the eggs with breakfast part of, it's not a vlog. It's a really good video. So I wanted to recommend it and have people go, and it's already got 57. Oh, that's the wrong one. It's already got, well, it's got 9,400 views. So you should go check that out. Give him your support. Give him your eyeballs. I learned something from watching this. I learned how to combo with Thrall properly using Bolt at level 20. Basically, the difference between doing it properly and improperly was 1,000 points of damage, a single target.
Oh my God.
And that's just one little piece of nugget of information in 6 minutes that arguably has about 30 or 40 little things in there.
Yeah.
That are like, oh, interesting. Oh, neat. And the best part about the video is that while you've actually picked up a lot of little tips that are super useful, you feel like, wow, there's a whole world of other information that I'm not getting from anywhere. So if that's the kind of content this gentleman is going to make, I'd like to encourage people to watch it and for him to keep doing it, because it's very much appreciated.
That's awesome. I would also recommend secondarily, if you are ever in the mood, to go see any of the content we've put together. And I think some of the stuff you and John have done has been very educational. You can head over to youtube.com/coreheroes as well. We don't really pimp that often, but it's good stuff happening there.
Yeah, we need to get a little more proactive on updating it.
Yeah,
video. Some of us, me, has gotten a little too lax.
Well, listen.
It's that stuff together.
It's that time, that time of year, you know? There's games to play and people to play them with. I don't know where I was going with that. All right.
It's a very festive message, Scott. Thank you.
Good. I got good news for everybody, because right now begins this. Ready, set, aim. Where is the thing? Oh, I don't have it anymore. Yeah, I do. I can't believe I'm still using that. It's time for Next Jeopardy, everyone. And Bo is your host. Bo, take it away.
Hello. Welcome to Next Jeopardy. I am Gorath Trebek, and here we're going to test the knowledge of John Jagger and Scott Johnson with respect to Heroes of the Storm and have a good time while doing it. Gentlemen, we all know the rules. Are you ready to compete?
Do we, Bo? Do we?
You do. I know you do. I have faith in both of you. You're very intelligent folks.
All right.
And you're going to do well today. We're changing things up a little bit. The program is going to be a little bit different. So typically, about now, I'd ask you to pick talents. But instead of talents, you're going to choose a hero.
Oh.
But we're going to figure out who gets to pick first. Scott, do you want the higher or lower?
I'll do higher. Lower?
All right, John gets first pick.
All right.
And what he's picking,
there's two heroes to choose from. You can pick Jaina, or you can pick Carl Jim.
Jaina.
Oh, I like the choice. It's a good one. I like both of those characters a lot.
So John is Jaina.
John is John Jaina. John Jaina.
John Jaina Jagger.
Yeah, you got to
land. John Jaina.
You got to move like right. Jaina. Yep.
Scott, you're Carl Jim.
Okay. I'm in.
All right, so you each have a heroic.
For those new to the show, we're talking about Karazim. Go ahead.
Yeah, Karazim. So you each get a heroic for the duration of the game. All right, you can use it once in the regular round. John, you have Ring of Frost. Okay.
Cool. I picked Rex.
You have to yell Serpents of Neptilon, guide me, in order to use it.
Okay.
Okay. And you can freeze out Scott for one turn at any point.
All right.
He has to say Scott, Serpents of Neptilon. I'm guessing mine's worse. All right, go ahead.
Now, for you, Scott, I forget what he has to yell. You have to yell, beneath the endless tides.
Wait, give that one more time.
Beneath the endless tides.
Break neath the endless tides?
Beneath the endless tides. Breaks, I think that's what he says.
Beneath
like the bee's knees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it. That's better than for the gods of Egok or whatever he says. I don't want to do that.
I mean, honestly, you guys could yell anything out iconic from them and it works, but I'm just giving you a template.
Okay.
If you do that, you can palm yourself and prevent the loss of money.
Okay.
I was already palming myself, but...
Well, Jaina, don't do that.
We'll give Scott the opportunity.
All right. So these are your heroics. You can only use them once, all right, in the match. Right. So use them wisely. All right. So now on to today's categories. We're not going to be doing talent system because you have the ultimate talent, which is heroic.
All right.
Yeah.
Like today's talents, good old regular talents, classics, you might say.
Okay.
We have Ready Up already. All right. Category two is name that huzzah heroic.
Okay.
And the last one is Nexus Naming Committee. All right. And I'm just going to say up front, I kind of crammed at the end, so, you know. Yeah, it's going to be what it's going to be. All right. So, John, you won the roll. You get to pick first category.
Let's do Nexus Naming Committee for 100.
All right.
Because I want to know what this is.
Me too.
All right. No, you guys have done this one before.
Oh, have we?
Oh, we have? Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Great. You guys remember Heroin Herbert?
Oh, yeah. Heroin Herbert.
Oh, no. Why'd I pick this one?
Yeah.
All right. My least favorite category.
For one, get your buzzers ready. All right. Okay. For 100, Firehead Fred.
Beep.
Scott. I heard Scott first.
Who is Ragnaros?
You got it.
Okay. Whew. I was almost going to say who is the elemental Thrallskin, but I knew that wasn't right.
All right. Andy, get a loot box because it's 100.
All right.
You rolled a 67. So 67 is... You get a silence penalty. So the player of your choosing can't answer the next question. Who do you choose?
The player of my choosing can't answer the next question?
Yeah.
Well, I'm only playing with John. So I'll say John.
Oh, okay. No.
All right. So he can't. He has a silence penalty.
Okay. So he can't answer this next one at all.
No, but he can pick the next one. Or no, you can. You answered it right.
Yeah.
You pick the next category.
Nexus Naming Committee for 200, please.
Right. Get ready for this. All right. The Dong Doctor.
The Dong Doctor?
The Dong Doctor. Or Dr. Dong.
Dr. Dong.
Can I use my Ring of Frost while silenced?
No. Silence. You can't cast spells while silenced.
You can't cast anything when you're silenced. You need a cleanse, and nobody's here to do it. All right, hold on. Dong Doctor.
Time. I mean, if you don't answer, you don't lose anything. But,
yeah. Oh. Who is Nazebo?
No!
Nazebo, that's correct. You got it.
I forgot because he's a witch doctor and he's got this thing swinging. How would I not know that? Okay.
Yeah. These are kind of inside jokes, naming committee, right? the Dong Doctor. All right. Scott.
I'll finish it out. Nexus Naming Committee for 300.
All right. Sorry about this one. Boner Bill.
Boner Bill.
John?
Who is Zool?
No, incorrect. He's Heroin Herbert.
Oh, yeah, he's Heroin Herbert.
Yeah, but he could also be Boner Bill.
I mean, this category doesn't make that much sense.
He's right. Really into bones, Bo. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, bones. Yeah, that's good.
There's somebody who's really into bones, I think.
I don't think he's into it.
All right,
so much.
Boner Bill? Boner Bill. Does Bill have anything to... I mean, are we supposed to hear the names of, like, the Bill and the...
I mean, who's got bones?
Oh, okay. Who is Skeleton King, or who is Leoric?
You got it.
Okay. I clean that there, John. I did you a favor. I cleaned that entire category out for you.
It's gone.
Boner Bill. That's what we're gonna call him.
Boner Bill. That's amazing. All right.
The worst category.
All right.
I love that.
Scott,
category.
You're people are called yelling at Legacy Podcast Game Show of the Year.
Technically, we've never won, but clearly we were headed that direction.
It was Vessa that said that. That was great. Good one. You get a rejoinder of the storm bonus of $100, Vessa.
There you go.
All right. So, Scott, what category are you picking?
Let's do... name that huzzah heroic, I guess. For 100, let's do it low.
Okay. Become an unstoppable whirlwind of death. Scott.
What is Bladestorm?
You got it.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott.
I'm glad
you get a box again.
For me, I'm apparently way off.
Well, you don't like Sumeru, so that one bit you in the butt right there.
Yeah. If you like Sumeru, maybe you get an extra pretty quick question.
Questions for people who like Sumeru.
So you got another epic quality item, Scott.
All
it's
right.
Indestructible rocks,
okay.
Plural.
Okay.
So basically, you can use this to throw it at your opponent's buzzer to make it accidentally go off.
Okay.
And unlimited uses. So you have a lot of them.
Really? So wow. You can
ring John's buzzer anytime you like. All right, Scott, you're in control of the board.
All right,
Does the number of rocks really matter if they're indestructible? I thought it was the indestructible nature that made them reusable, Bo.
I don't know.
I think it's that I have a lot of them, right? Because if I throw them...
It's the more epic version of destructible rocks.
Am I overthinking your game, Bo?
Maybe.
Yes. Scott, pick the next question.
Let's bounce it around and say ready up already for 100.
All right. You guys get your buzzers ready, all right?
All right.
Yes. Sure.
Zarya, ready for duty. Scott, or John. John answered first.
I thought you were still going to give it to Scott. I was like, this game's just changed. Who is Zarya?
You got it.
Yeah. Wow. The part with her name in it probably gave it away.
This is probably one of the more challenging ones.
And you got a loot box too, John. Let's see what you got. 70. Everyone's getting epics today. You got Verdant Spheres. Great. So when you activate them on the next question, you get double the rewards, either negative or positive. So it has to be before you answer.
Okay, so I beep, then I tell you Verdant Spheres, then I answer.
Sure. Anytime before you answer. Yeah. Oh, no, any time before I confirm whether the answer is correct or not.
Okay.
Cool. So, John, you're in control of the board now, buddy.
Ready up already for 200.
All right. Okay. I hear and obey.
Who is Karazim?
Incorrect.
What? Yeah. I hear and obey. Really?
I hear and obey. You're close.
Wait, is that your impression, Bo? Are you doing an impression? Let me hear it one more time.
I hear. No, wait. That's Draenei. I hear and obey.
Now you sound like a bad dub.
I can't do voices, all right? I hear and obey.
That's partly why I love this topic, because he can't do voices.
I don't know. I think I was hoping for a hint with the voice, and I think the voice made it harder.
Hold on. I can throw a rock at his buzzer, right?
Yep, you can.
Okay, threw a rock.
So now you have to answer.
I hear and obey.
It's supposed to be saying. He's supposed to say words. Hold on.
Move out. Let's go.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Stormtrooper. I don't know. I'm gonna say I don't know.
He prefers boner bill, but yeah, go ahead.
I don't know.
Okay, it is a Samuro.
Oh, Samuro!
Oh, that's why I didn't know.
Oh, gosh dang it, I knew that.
I never ready up as him.
All right.
I'm pretty sure Karazim says something very similar. He says, I hear and obey. Like, he does that whole...
That was your Samuro impression,
I hear
though.
And obey.
I swear
I
he
hear
does.
And obey.
He does something. I'm going to find it.
I hear and obey. I hear and obey. All right, John, I think you're still in control of the board because no one got that right.
Ready up already for 300.
I serve. I can't do voice effects. I serve. Scott.
Who is Tassadar?
Nope, incorrect.
Damn it!
Beep.
You want to use your heroics, guys? The game's
beep.
Almost over.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right, you're losing $300, Scott.
Why?
Because you got that one wrong.
Oh, no, I meant to do my healing thing. That's what I want to do. Wait.
Can I hear the...
I have to yell it. Yeah. Break beneath the endless tides.
Okay. You palmed yourself and saved yourself from losing your money.
All right.
Okay.
But John can still get this, right? He can answer.
John?
I'm going to use my Verdant Spheres. Who is Zeratul?
You are correct.
Ah, shit. I knew it was one of the Protoss guys.
That's $600 for John. He's back up to 200, positive 200. It's pretty good.
Damn it. Okay. All right.
The comebacks. This is comeback mechanics, guys.
Comeback kid. Yeah. By the way, are they on permanent cooldown? We can only use our heroics once?
You can only use them once.
Okay.
All right. Your palm has been used.
Just making sure.
It's a high value palm, though.
Yeah. It's a good palm. Yeah.
all right, John. The only category left is named that Huzzah Heroic, I believe. Well, for 200, 300.
Let's do it for 200.
Very large, very hot, and apparently quite difficult to avoid.
Beep.
John?
What is Lava Wave?
You got it.
Oh, well done. What number was that? 300?
It's $200.
$200, okay.
I lost the dice.
All right. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's no more loot boxes, so we're not going to worry about that. All right. Last question. All right.
Yep.
Name that Huzzaroic for 300. Listen closely. And I might have this one wrong, but I don't think I do. All right. Maybe white men can't jump, but apparently white women can, and with a full set of plate armor, no less.
Beep.
John?
What is heroic leap?
Incorrect.
No!
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to answer. But he loses 300.
I know what it is.
Too late.
I didn't listen careful enough.
The plate armor?
Yeah.
I believe the answer is what is falling sword. Not that we had to check, but I'm not sure if that's the right answer.
Oh, yeah, it is falling sword. It is.
It's falling sword, right?
Yeah, that's the heroic. Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's just in Diablo, it's just a move. Yeah. It always throws me off the Diablo ones because they're called heroics. In the other game, they're just like moves. Like, oh, here's number three that I hit, you know?
I feel like we were all very unsure and we all came together well, and I feel like the money should be divvied up between all of us.
You both ended in the positives, but John, you ended in the lead with $400.
Wait, how is he in the lead?
You're at 500. Sorry.
Yeah.
Scott's in the lead.
I should be in the lead.
Saved it. You palmed yourself.
Jeez.
No ring of frost from Jaina. You know, interesting tactic.
I didn't have to. I saved it for the right moment.
All right.
Well, you can't use it in Final Jeopardy now.
No.
Okay. All right. So
ring of frost.
Now you have to try
so,
to. You
Scott,
have to time
you have 500, it. 500. John, you have 400. Here's what's happening. The final round now. By the way, congratulations on a decent, like, both of you have good solid dollar amounts at the end of the regular round.
Yeah.
I think it's the first.
I had
good
some
job, guys.
I had
weren't both awful tonight.
I had some protein today. I think that helps. A little protein makes your brain better.
Okay, so the name of the Final Jeopardy category is Master Skin Theater Brawl. It's a very big pun. We're going to do something a little different, you guys. There isn't a question. You might notice in our notes here, there's a line. Okay, so each of you have to perform that line as the character that you've selected at the beginning of the game. So, John, you have to do Jaina. And Scott, you have to do Carl Jim.
Okay.
And the chat room is going, you know, I'm going to start. I'm going to have a little look, and we're going to chat room, if you're listening. You're going to have to vote on who did the best job.
Yeah.
And that person will win or not. So, now for betting. how much are you betting, Scott, that you're going to win?
Oh, my gosh. John's really good at voices.
Oh, I'm doing Jaina. Let me just remind you.
How much is my lead? 100?
$500. Oh, you have 100 lead.
Oh, 100 lead. Okay. I'm going to do 100.
Okay. Scott, 100. John, your bet?
All of it.
All right. 100%.
Oh, my Lord.
Interesting.
I live or die on this impression.
Okay.
It's going to be bad.
All right.
So, Scott, because you have the most lead. Now, chat room, you can start voting when I say start voting. So I'm not counting them yet, all right? They have to finish. All right, Scott, go ahead. And your best performance of Carl Jim in a Shakespeare line that is written there.
The one that's written here is the one I have to say.
Starts with cowards, right?
Yeah, ends with once, right?
Yep.
Here we go. Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once.
All right.
By the many gods of Hubba-ba-ba. All right. That's me.
Give a little clap. Chat room, clap.
Give them 30 seconds before they even hear it, I think.
All right. And now, John, it's time. It's your turn now for Jaina doing Shakespeare.
This is going to be so bad. Why did I pick Jaina? I feel like I was set up horribly. Thanks for this, Bo.
You're welcome.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once.
I am unconvinced, but here's what I believe is going to happen. You want to know what I think is going to happen? I think that the chat room is going to give you sympathy votes, is what
chat
I think is going to happen.
Starting now, start typing in Scott or John, and I'm going to cut it off in 30 old seconds.
All right, we'll see how this goes. I am genuinely worried I'm not going to win this because... I just know how people go. It's going to take, I don't know what the delay is right now. Let's see.
Thanks for Chromie. I could have actually probably done a better Chromie than Jaina.
There's a vote for John.
Vote John. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Scott. That's Scott. That's
three, four, three.
Which would be more convincing? Yeah. See, this is the problem. This is what I knew was going to happen because they, yes, he's a terrible impression of Jaina, but he was handed the hard job and he stood up and did it. And of course he's going to get the votes.
It's 5-5.
Look at that. Look at Run, Jump, Stump says. He says, would have voted
for John. 9-8 for John.
Would have voted for Scott, but he gave me the idea to vote for John. Great. Great.
10. Yeah. John, you know what? We're cutting it off there. 10.
One vote for Ogen. I like.
Why have you forsaken me, chat room?
So John is won. He's won $400. He bet it all, and he's climbed up to $800. And Scott lost $100 for his performance. Although I thought Scott did a great performance.
It was great.
Yeah, it was. But it was. But, I mean, look. If I'm honest, there's no. You were given the harder thing. Like that is harder to do. I couldn't do a Jaina. Like, it's almost impossible. So I bet I would have gotten Jaina votes if had I had Jaina. So I think this is just the way it was going to go.
Do you want to try doing the Jaina one?
No, hell no, I don't.
I'm see if they switch their vote.
I'm here.
There'll always be an ex-Jeopardy in the future.
There always will be. And will it be as good as this?
That's a good question.
Who knows? No one actually
Congratulations
knows.
On your win, John.
Yeah, well done, John. You've done extremely well there. All right, here's this. All right, let's get right to the business at hand, which is an email that came to us at core@heroesforyou.com, and it says this: first-time emailer and pretty new listener overall to the show, only a month or so now, I think. This is Josh B. who wrote this. He says, it's actually something that both Riot and Blizzard does. Unlike Valve and Dota, I played League of Legends when Riot first moved away from using ELO as their ranking. he's talking about exposing MMR. That was the subject. I forgot to put that in here. Anyway, okay. He said, moved over. Okay, before they had anything like bronze, silver, etc., you used to just have a number as your score, and that was that. The number moved up and down, and that was it. But there were a few problems with using ELO and MMR. The first was fighting when you were in ranked games. For example, if you were 1200, the equivalent of silver, and you got matched with a 1300 person, it could lead to a lot of fighting if you did something that the higher ranked person didn't like. Pick a bad hero or a champion. Get ready to be called all sorts of names. While this still happens in the system now, there's a huge difference between two people who are in their silver three together versus someone directly being able to say they're better because their score is higher than yours. Second problem was that gaining ranks in ELO was very, very slow. When a player progressed from silver three to silver two, you can directly see how you were improved. That you've been able to move up an entire rank or so. Now, that's a lot harder to do when you go from 1250 to 1270. It's a psychological impact where you feel much bigger sense of achievement by being able to move up a rank compared to seeing some random number move up only a few points. So, yeah, hopefully that answers a few of you guys' questions. If you want more introspection on League of Legends, Bo, you could certainly use some when it comes to depth and complexity with it. Smiley face. What does that mean? You know more about that game than we do. Was he backhanding? Was that a weird? What was that? Was that a compliment? Was that a diss? I don't know what that was.
If you want some more introspection into LO, well, I don't know.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I never really played rank too much in League. I just played a lot of the other mode, like the more casual modes. So
yeah,
Maybe he has someone. He's played 4 or 5 years of competitive and seen the up and downs of what it's like to be unranked.
Trust me,
I
don't think it's a diss either. But trust me, it's John and I who you'd want to levy that at because we didn't. I'm terrible. I'm League of Legends. Good Lord, I'm bad. I barely poked my head in there, hated it, and left. So
yeah, you say ELO to me, and I think Electric Light Orchestra.
Exactly. I thought that as well. Thinking Xanadu, man. He says he played League of Legends for approximately 4 to 5 years before going to HOTS, Josh B. Well, Josh, I think he's correct about the MMR display thing. Like it gets weird. Like numbers are weird. And if a guy is 1200 and another guy is 1250, it's only 50 points difference, but that 1250 guy thinks he's now on some high horse, whether he knows it or not. It's like this weird psychological experiment. And, I think it's bad. So I think that's the reason nobody does it anymore. And we probably will never get this from Blizzard. Why would they?
I mean, I think we had a sense that it is a community management plan that we have. Like, I think we're all aware that we're not being given all the information from behind the scenes in order for us to have less excuses to fight. Or, yeah. You know, I think we've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think what, if I remember what I said was, it's that a lot of people, there are people who would know what to do with that information and use it competently. There are probably many people who think they would use it competently and deserve to know and wouldn't. And that's why that system's in place. So yeah, but everyone's going to say that they just want to have it because it's just information that's useful to know.
Yeah.
I don't see how you do the alternative, which is we've got this matchmaking system and we don't want anyone else's opinions but our own on it. So we're not going to show that to the public. Like, I just still think it's, in spite of these things that you're talking about, none of us can make informed sort of opinions or give informed reactions about the way that's working. We can only just go, man, I got a Hero League game today and there's two placement guys on my team and there were a bunch of non-placements on the other team. Why doesn't each team one get a placement on each team? Why did both have to be on the same team?
Right.
We don't know. Like, I can sit there and say I hate it all day, but if I had something useful to say, I won't be able to say it because I don't know how it works.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm more for the transparency side of things, even if, yes, your situation is right. Some people are going to be like, you're 20 points below me. My life is cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Martha.
Yeah, that's a pretty good Dear Martha premise, actually. It's not bad. Yeah.
We could queue it up
all
if
right,
you want.
We're doing it. You ready? Dear Martha, everybody. Tuck in.
My dearest Martha, today a letter came in from the front. They told me that I was ELO number 1522. I don't know what that means, but my friend Billy, he's ELO 1322, and I think he's a scrub. Martha, I'm not kidding when I tell you, he is the worst thrall I've ever seen. I don't anticipate I'll ever see you or our children again, because this noob will not get out of the bottom lane and team fight with the rest of us. I'm not kidding. Did he want to play assassin, or did he want to play a single player game? Martha, I'm sick of this. Tell your daughter I love her. She's my daughter too. Love, Game Master 27.
Right, best Dear Martha yet. That was amazing. Oh my gosh. You gotta.
She's my daughter too.
I have to pee now.
You might have forgotten in the letter.
Oh my gosh. That was great. If you would like to be like Josh B and inspire your very own Dear Martha moment in complete, by the way, complete spontaneous, we don't plan these at all. core@heroesforyou.com or leave us a voicemail 801-471-0462. And that's going to do it for the show proper. Now, for those watching live, we are going to be playing games right after this. The stream will end and then it will start again. And then we will play Heroes of the Storm. You might be familiar with it. So that's coming up here in just a couple of moments. In the meantime, don't forget to check us out at heroesforyou.com. We are a simulcast on alphageekradio.com. And you can join us in the game /joinfrogpants. Until they get a clan system, that's your best way in. core@heroesforyou.com, again, is the email address. And follow us on Twitter, Bo Schwartz. That's B-E-A-U Schwartz, not B-O, which is what Josh B. thought your name was spelled like. Scott Johnson and John_Jagger. And, of course, you can find the show at Core Heroes. We are here to tell you to have a fantastic 2017. May it be filled with time in the Nexus. May you all get along together. And may your next match be a win. Is our hope and dream. Thank you all for being here, and we'll see you next year.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.